So today, Pastor Kenneth is not here. We do have, he's no stranger. This is Pastor Steve coming up. He is a middle school pastor. Steve and his wife, Vicky, and their two beautiful daughters have done an outstanding job with DBS this summer. And he's been a blessing to us. We'd like to have the luxury of Pastor Steve.
Thank you so much.
And today, he's going to be preaching the word. Right? And you have, I guess, until 1 o'clock.
You know, it's great to be in God's house today. Last night, I was in here all by myself with my wife, and she was upstairs putting the bulletin, and I was down here practicing my sermon. And boy, is it a lot different practicing when nobody is here. This morning, I need to tell you, this message is something that I've been living. This message is something that when you're going through life and the storms begin to swirl and you begin to question God and say, God, why is this happening? Why do I keep on going through all these things? Health, sickness, disease, financial distress, unforgiveness. All of these things happen in our life. But I have three good words for you. And they are, don't give up. Would you say that with me? Don't give up. If they don't hear another part of my sermon today, I want you to leave by knowing that God has your back and He doesn't want you to give up. As I was praying this morning, I began to cry out to God because I believe that there is somebody here today that you're on the brink of that point in your life that you're just like, God, you promised me that you're there. You promised me that I just don't know where to go. I don't know where to run. I don't know what to do anymore. I am at my wit's end and I just don't know what to do anymore. And God is saying, don't give up today. God is saying, I have your back. I'm there in the midst of the storm. I'm with you. I want to begin today by going over a man's life that we all know very, very well, but had some challenges in his life. At the age of 22, this man failed in business. Has anybody here ever had a business that failed? I know I did. I used to sell paper chef. I lasted 6 months, and then the business went, phew! But I did have a full kitchen before I got married. At the age of 23, he ran for legislator, but was defeated. At the age of 24, again, he failed in business. At the age of 25, he was elected to legislature. Something good, yeah! At the age of 26, tragedy happened. His best friend, his sweetheart, had died. At the age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At the age of 29, he was defeated for speaker. At the age of 31, he was defeated for elector. At the age of 34, he was defeated for Congress. At the age of 37, he was actually elected for Congress. At the age of 39, he was defeated for Congress once again. At age 46, defeated for Senate. At the age of 47, defeated for Vice President. At the age of 49, defeated for Senate. And at the age of 41, he was elected President of the United States. And that is, anybody know? Abraham Lincoln. Nice. Can you imagine all those trials and tribulations that Abraham Lincoln had to go through? He didn't just wake up one day and go, hey, I'm going to be the President of the United States. Everybody, don't worry, I've got your back. I can do it. I think he proved himself that he could be the President of the United States. He went through many battles, heartaches. My wife is my best friend. I love her to pieces. If she wasn't here tomorrow, I would be
president of the United States. I've got good news for you today, my friend. God has your back. God is with you in the midst of the storms of life that you are facing. He has you in the palm of his hand. He wants to wrap his loving arms around you and say, my child, I love you. I care about you. Don't give up. You see, we all face adversities and storms in life. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we're going to get at verse 35. You know, this is a very common story, and I've heard this story told probably a million ways in my lifetime. But this story really speaks to my heart. Because it seems that from the moment I was born until now, if there's something that has been constant, it's just, there's been storms in my life. Constant. My wife's shaking her head yes because she knows she's been through it with me. I've been through all kinds of things. My parents got divorced when I was young, at the age of 5. My mom didn't want me, she disowned me. I moved in with my grandparents and my dad, and they tried to raise me the best they could, and my grandmother was my only heart, and she was the one who would love me to pieces, and she ended up dying when I was 9. My grandpa was a drug addict and alcoholic, my dad was a schizophrenia alcoholic. Put that all together, what a great life I had, huh? But you want to know something in the midst of those storms? I had a God that helped me. No matter what I face in this life, God's always said, Steve, don't give up. Don't give up. You have many lives to affect for the kingdom of God. Don't give up. And trust me, there's been times that I've reached on my flat of my face and I would cry out to God and I would be like, God, you promised me that you're there. Where are you? And then I hear that small, stupid whisper. I'm right here with you. You see, the storms of life come. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to read with this with me. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. How many of you love thunderstorms? And just falling asleep to it. But you ride that wind and hail and rocking of a boat, I don't know that I'd be sleeping during that. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times have we said to God, don't you understand what we're going through? Don't you understand what I'm facing? Don't you see what is going on in my life right now? And then, hallelujah, Jesus showed up. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, I thank you today for your word. I'm so grateful, Lord God, that you called me for this time and for this season to be right here at Life Church. I pray today at the sound of my voice that even if there is one person here that says, I just don't know how I'm going to continue on, that, Father, they will be encouraged this day to look at your faithfulness and your goodness and your mercy, that they won't give up, but that they'll come to you. Jesus, we thank you for this message. We pray your anointing upon it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So imagine this day with me. We decided we're going to go, what kind of cruise line? Let's go with Norwegian. Norwegian's a little bit more classy, I think. So we're going on this cruise, and we're all packed up. We got our suitcases together. And we're all just ready to have a great time. Listen to some music. Maybe Pastor Shannon start preaching a message or two. And we're all just ready just to have a great time. Sounds wonderful. Until a big storm arises. Has anybody ever been on a cruise ship before? Anybody here been on a cruise ship in the middle of a storm? Yes. Or even on a ship? It's scary. Especially when you have a pregnant wife with you. It's scary. And I'll never forget this because we were on this boat. It was called the Big Red Boat. So you would think that it was a really big, huge boat, right? No, the joke was that our boat was the boat that carried the food for the Disney cruise line. So it was like a really small boat. So we felt every wave and everything, and it was scary. And I remember saying to my wife, I said, I'm so glad I'm a Christian because if anything was to happen, I know where I'm going. But we really didn't want to think about that at that point. But the winds and the waves began to come. I don't know about you, but there's been situations in my life that I felt scared. I felt like, God, you really want me to go through this right now? You see what I'm facing. You see this battle. You see this situation. It's scary right now. You look at your checkbook, and it says you have $100 in there, but your electric bill is $239. I mean, you've been there. Yeah. I look back and the scary situation. But then what I love about Jesus is you see Jesus getting frightened and scared. Do you see him going, oh my word, what's going on? I just don't know how I'm going to handle this. You see him going around worrying, oh my word, what's going to happen, what's going to happen? No. Jesus spoke these words. Peace. Peace, be still. Today I want to talk about three big storms of life. Storm of unforgiveness, storm of sickness, and storm of financial distress. The first one, a storm of unforgiveness. Man, I would like to tell you that I'm up here all perfect and don't ever have to deal with this, but I'm going to be honest with you. Unforgiveness is a very difficult thing. I don't want to go into details because I don't want to embarrass my family, but something very bad happened to our family. Very bad. Someone really hurt our family more than I think anything else could have ever happened in my life. It wrecked our family. People disowned us. I had nowhere to turn to. Because you see, the whole reason we moved up here to Massachusetts was to be by my wife's family. That's why we moved up here. Or so we thought. I remember during going through those few years and questioning God not going to church for a while. Because instead of me putting the blame where the blame goes, I blamed God. But you see, I had to go through that storm because I couldn't stand up here today and talk about unforgiveness if I didn't go through it myself. You see, guys, bitterness and hatred is not going to get you very far. Having that unforgiveness in your heart, no matter how hard it is, and I believe there's some of you here that are dealing with really important issues in your family right now, and you're just like, I just cannot speak to my mom. I just cannot speak to my dad. Folks, I'm going to tell you this right now, they're not going to be around forever. I had to make some tough decisions for my family. We had to make tough decisions as our family. And I'm going to tell you that through going through all of that, God did some reconciliation. But you see, I had to get to the point of my knees that I could honestly say to that person, I forgive you. Are they my best friend today? By no means. But I can tell you in my heart, there was a check now that I can honestly say I forgive them. You see, unforgiveness is a storm that comes when we least expect it. I wrote in my notes about one of the things that happens when we're at work. How many of you work in an office or job and there's a lot of gossip going on? Okay, did you hear about Susie over there? You hear what she's doing with so-and-so? And hey, you see what's going on over there? Yeah. I know, I work with a bunch of ladies. I think there's only 3,000. I'm not saying it's just ladies, but that's the main thing. The ladies have a lot to do with the situation. But in the midst of it, guys, I'm telling you, just the drama. And I'm telling you, we work with people with disabilities. And you would hear before the guys get there and everybody, and when they're there, everybody tries to get along with one another. But before, I mean, yelling and screaming at each other in the hallway. What happened to professionalism? I think that's thrown right out the door. But you see, it's easy to get caught up in that, especially person you don't really like. But God doesn't want us to get into that. He wants us to remain in control. And He wants us to forgive. To forgive. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. If you notice, I've been preaching on the book of Mark this morning, and there's a reason. Pastor's passion for this month is Mark, the book of Mark. So I kind of wanted to go along with what he's been planning. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says this, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, act mean to him." Oh, wait. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood that. Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But. And everybody say, but.
But.
If you do not forgive, you will go to hell. No. Neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness. How many times have us men, after the wife has been sitting there nagging us and nagging us and nagging us, okay? Let me be real. And then we just want to go off in our little corner and do whatever we want. And maybe not talk to her for a few hours. Or maybe it's the other way. Yeah. But you know, forgiveness is awesome. Because when you come back and you're really, and you're heartfelt, you're like, look, I'm sorry for what I've done. Healing begins to take place. And the storm of unforgiveness Today I want to encourage you to allow peace to be still in your house. And what are the three words? Don't give up. So the first storm is a storm of unforgiveness. The second storm is a storm that I deal with almost constantly. And that is the storm of sickness. Do we have anybody here who has asthma? Asthma is not a joke. I remember just a few years ago, I had a severe asthma attack that left me in the hospital for 11 days. 11 days. Now, how many of you have ever been in the hospital and know that wonderful food that you get to eat? Say nobody ever. It was probably the most miserable, and my wife will tell you that she was miserable with me because I made her miserable. Because I was home cooking every day. I wanted what I wanted while I was in the hospital, and I was very selfish during that time. But it was a horrible experience. Being woken up every 4 hours, trying to get your vital signs, trying to get you your medication that you need, and trying to keep you alive and breathing so that you can keep on living. But that storm of sickness is tough. When the storm of sickness comes around, it wrecks your life. It wrecks your family. It can wreck your finances. You know, I want you to think about this for a minute. What would you do if the sickness came along and you didn't have a job for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, a year? That's a long time. And then you have to figure out how you're going to pay your bills and everything else. Sickness is a tough one. And I often wonder, and I once always ask God, why is it that some people we can come and lay our hands on and they get healed instantly? And then other times, it's a process. I don't have that answer, but I'm going to tell you this, that I've seen the miracles of God happen in my life over and over and over again. And I know that the miracles happen. And I believe that the miracle working power of Jesus Christ is flowing in this church. Amen. I had the awesome opportunity of going to Boston Children's Hospital to visit a family. He's sitting here today, Mr. O'Bell. His daughter has, which is okay for me to share, his daughter has severe seizures. Severe seizures. I mean, I'm talking hundreds a day. Hundreds. I remember driving up there, and I'm just praying on my way as I'm driving up there, and I'm just saying, God, please anoint me. Please give me the words to speak. I know that they have to be desperate. I know they have to be down and out, because to be in a hospital and just having no answers is a terrible place to be. But Jesus, I pray. And I prayed this really hard. I said, God, give me the words to speak, but let your miracle power be present. And I get goosebumps. I get into that hospital, and I was not leaving until James showed up. And I was in there with Abigail and talking with her, and we're having a good time. I brought her up a stuffed animal. And she just loved the stuffed animal piece. But then all of a sudden, James walked in the room, and I knew it was time to pray. And we joined together, and I believe we prayed for a little while. And I prayed with all my heart and effort. I mean, I prayed from my heart. I cried out to God. I was believing God that God was going to do a miracle. And I was not going to satisfy for anything less but a miracle from God. How many of you have ever been desperate? I think desperation is a good place to be, because guess what? The only way you get it is up. And it still has to be God to do it. So James and I and Sarah, we all prayed over Abigail, we anointed her, prayed over her. And I just felt in my heart like God did something at that moment. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know exactly what God did, but I felt like in my heart that God just doing something amazing. amazing. So, even while I was there, she had a seizure. And I leave the hospital and I drive home. I'm like, God, I know, we prayed. It was a faith, and I just believed in God for miracles. It's amazing how God works. I read on Facebook that up until this point, they've been very discouraged. No doctor would listen to them. They wanted to try some different remedies. The doctors would say no. They wanted them to try some new medication while they were in the hospital. The hospital, the doctor said, no way, you're going to have to leave right now. One had over hundreds of seizures a day, and that is a wrong decision. I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, I read on the face that he got the chief of the chief of neurology to take over the case. The doctor signed off that they can try these different things. And what has happened, James? That is a miracle from God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Mark. 10th chapter. Beginning of verse 46, it says this. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out to Jericho, his disciples in a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And by the way, who made these names? And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he stayed blind. Wait. What did it say? And immediately, not like a few days later, not hours later, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Jesus heals today. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Jesus heals today. Some of you have been facing this battle of sickness for a long time. Some of you have maybe had injury after injury. And they're questioning, why does this keep happening over and over and over and over and over? I just want this whirlwind to stop. I want this storm to be gone in my life. And this is what God is whispering right now. Again. You see, the storm of sickness comes. But in this story, we see that the hand of Jesus came and touched him. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus came and met him where he was. Immediately, this man received his sight. I'm here today to tell you some good news. Here in a few minutes, we're going to have a pastoral care team come. And they're going to pray with you for a miracle from God. We have people here that have been healed of cancer, healed of backaches, healed of leg injuries. Why? Because that's the God that we serve. So don't give up on the storm of sickness. Lastly, the third storm is a storm of financial distress. I went to Hometown Bank yesterday. Sometimes I like to do errands and sometimes I don't.
yesterday I decided I was going to go along and hitch a ride and go out to the bank with my wife, and Nate was opening up a savings account, which is absolutely wonderful. So glad God has given her a job and can save my wallet. But as I was at the bank, they actually have really nice setup in their hometown bank. They have really nice chairs that you can sit in. They're very uncomfortable, but they're very nice. And so I remember I was sitting there, and you know me, I'm very shy and very quiet, and I don't really talk to anybody. So I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the city comes over, "Is anybody sitting here?" And I'm like, "No." She goes, "Can I sit there?" I said, "Sure." She goes, "Well, my husband in here are doing some refinancing for our house. My husband and I have been out of jobs for over a year." My mouth probably almost hit the floor because I'm knowing one person being without a job is bad enough. Letting alone two people and not knowing where the money's coming from to meet the bills. And I sat there and we were just talking about different things. And as I was leaving, I thought to myself, how many people here in the West are under the storm of financial stress? How many people just don't know where their next glass of water is coming from? I believe God placed us, my family and I, here in the Webster for a reason, for a purpose. I have no doubt in my mind. Because you see, when we first moved here, when I say we had nothing, we had nothing. I didn't even have enough money to buy my kids' school supplies. I had to go to the school and ask them if they had extra backpacks and school supplies for my kids. Do you know how humbling that is? That's a horrible place to be. But I'm here today to tell you that God brought us up out of the iron clay and set us up on the rock to stay. God brought us up. Why? Because when you're faithful with the little, God's going to be faithful with the much. The storm of financial distress you may be facing, but I'm here today to tell you that the miracle is on your way. I would like to go over this scripture with you. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44 says, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and sat how the people put money into the treasury, and many who are rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes it quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all of those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had for her livelihood.'" You may not be able to come up here in this red bucket and put in a check for $5,000. Let me tell you, that's okay. I don't have $5,000 and I'm putting that on the check. But what God wants you to do is be taking the little to be taking the much. Philippians 4:19 is one of my favorite scriptures. "And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches." It's not in your strength, guys, that you can make it through life. You can't do it on your own. But I'm here to tell you that we have a loving God who just comes down and says three words: don't give up. Pastor up here, can you please come? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Y'all stay with me, please. Okay. Father, my heart and my passion this morning is for you to touch hearts and lives here. Father, I'm sure there are people at the sound of my voice that are struggling through these different storms of life. Some here today may be struggling with the storm of unforgiveness. Somebody else may be struggling with the storm of sickness, and still somebody else may be struggling with the storm of financial distress. God, all I know is this word that you put on my heart about don't give up, that you will help us through the storms. It's a message you put on my heart. And I pray that the anointing will touch each and every person that is here today. And maybe you are here today and you say, Steve, I've been going through life and I have a lot of questions and I have a lot of doubts and I'm just not sure where my life is heading. I've been trying to do everything on my own and I just can't do it anymore. I have good news for you today, my friend. That Jesus, many years ago, died upon that cross for you to save you from your sins, to wash you, to cleanse you, to make you a new person. And all you have to do is make him your best friend. If that's you today, I just want everyone in this room just to say this after me. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry, Jesus, for all those bad things that I've done. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me a new person. In Jesus' name. Father, I just pray right now that before everyone leaves this place today, that if there's somebody here that says, I need prayer. I don't want to keep on going. I want to have this hope and know that I can make it through Jesus Christ. If that is you today, I want you just to make your way on down here to the prayer team. And I'd like to just pray this prayer of benediction over you. Father, I ask you that you will go with us this week. Help us to remember, Father, your word this week. Help us remember that you're going to help us through the storms of unforgiveness, the storm of sickness, and the storm of financial distress. And I pray today, Lord God, that if there's anybody here that needs prayer, please don't leave them, leave this building before coming and having a moment with you, Father. And we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.